Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and fervent studier of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, honey, and shalom to all of you. We've got a lot to say tonight, but first, let's praise the Lord.
Abba, Father, we adore you above all gods and pray for the many specific requests of those whose loyalty bows down to you alone. May you grant them the desires of their hearts, especially for the salvation of their loved ones, doing whatever it takes to bring them to their knees, accept your free gift, and be loosed from their chains of bondage. We pray comfort for the Iranian people, whose hopes have been shattered, but many will know the true King is coming, bringing real freedom. We pray this in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
And amen.
Well, President Trump says peace and security is on the way.
Yes, I like that he used those words. But this is not a peace deal. It's only a step one to move to some very tense deliberations. Also, Friday is still 3 days away, you know, before they have to officially, in Geneva and in person, sign this MOU by Parliament Speaker Mohammed Ghalibaf.
This memorandum of understanding.
But that other separate group, you know, apart from the legal government, is the Islamic terrorist regime, the IRGC, who are not happy about this. And the pro-Shiite protests are increasing.
Even though they're a minority.
Which are about 10% of the population.
You know, that's still 9 million people.
I know, who mostly want a war as they expect the 12th Imam to come, save them, and then rule the world. Anyhow, right now there is no way of knowing what's in the final agreement. We're only getting bits and pieces of all the goals.
But to many Bible believers, it looks like an American failure.
Because his current pattern does not suggest that Trump's deepest concern is the full dismantling of Iran's nuclear, missile, and terror structure. Rather, more like he's now trying to escape a conflict he could not politically sustain. You know, like the oil pressure, the market anxiety, public fatigue, and the burden of escalation turned military advantage into a really political vulnerability.
Iran now smells that weakness and converted it to revenge, to leverage.
That will probably affect the United States standing in the world.
And Trump's own image.
Iran's media are already presenting it as a major victory and a humiliation for President Trump. And proof that Washington was forced to retreat. But again, this is just a ceasefire extension, giving both sides time to negotiate the outcome. But what we do know is that this is surely a failure for the other 80 million, mostly Persian people. And the implications for Israel are extremely problematic, who know there needs to be a total regime change. You know, I saw him this morning, Trump, that is, talking at a press conference in Geneva at the G7 summit, where I actually heard him say, without me, there would be no Israel.
Well, obviously, he doesn't read the Bible.
That's unbelievable. He also said, since Israel can't take out Hezbollah without hurting many other people, maybe Syria could do it.
So Israel cannot be offensive, but Syria could?
Right. He added the caveat of not hurting other people, of course. But, you know, that's very hard because they hide in apartment buildings and hospitals, etc. Trump told Bibi, and this is a major sticking point, the IDF has to leave Lebanon altogether, which Bibi is refusing to do.
Thank God for that.
We can see where this is going, and Ezekiel 38 will be fulfilled soon. Therefore, the tribulation is close. Where a new regime, well, that probably would have taken long.
mean we are leaving pretty soon.
I agree. We are all very grateful for his many accomplishments, but now Trump has definitely succumbed to many of Iran's red lines, as in keeping their centrifuges, so to enrich, but only for civilian use.
Yeah, who are they kidding?
Especially after Trump leaves.
He also thought about diluting the uranium rather than removal.
I heard that, but they could still enrich it back later. But right now, a big victory for this Islamic regime is the removal of our naval blockade, allowing Iran to make billions of dollars, along with eventual sanctions relief. And believe what you want, but their Iranian news insists they will receive money up front.
So by now, maybe they already have.
Well, Qatar's foreign minister did personally go to Iran the day before Trump announced the deal. Did he bring them money?
We might never know.
But as I wrote in my newsletter that went out last night, money will come through the Gulf states. So Trump can say, no U.S. tax dollars are going to Iran. Or if it does surface, they'll just say it's for humanitarian or reconstruction aid. And not much is being said about their ongoing ballistic missile program.
Or their terrorist proxies.
As well, Israel was not allowed to have any part of the negotiations. You know, a senior U.S. official told one of the news outlets last week that even though Israel would not be a signatory to the agreement with Iran, still all of Israel's actions would have to be coordinated with the United States, since the United States is a signatory.
In other words, you can do nothing without our permission.
In order to protect any agreement, I suppose, that he will make. Anyway, however, it would not surprise me if the Islamic regime prods Hezbollah to do a strike so Israel will respond and thereby stall any uranium talks during this 60-day impasse.
That sounds more probable.
Mm-hmm. Keep your eyes on that. But sadly, many Israelis, especially on the left, think it's time for Netanyahu to go.
Nothing new here.
Correct. He's been dealing with that for decades. But what's also sad is recent polls also found that most Israelis are broadly supportive and appreciative of Trump, but many no longer believe that both Iran's and particularly Israel's security is no longer a central consideration for Trump, especially since telling Bibi he could not militarily reciprocate in Beirut, but it was okay for Trump to retaliate when our helicopter was hit.
Which was a real miracle that our two airmen were not killed.
Yeah, amazing actually.
So, Trump is now at the G7 meeting in Geneva?
Yes, and is talking with many leaders and also Ukraine's President Zelensky, which most feel is next on his list of wars to extinguish.
Well, his goal is peace and security.
And you know what? I say amen to that.
Okay, you can send your end-time questions by email to sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. And to help us stay on the air, your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which automatically puts you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Well, if you've been listening to the news before this MOU announcement, you probably, as myself, grew weary of hearing anything more about Graham Plattner of Maine. But it is true that a man's character is often revealed through salacious scandals and telling tattoos. As well, can there be revealing signs of a true believer from their fruits?
Of Of course.
Mm-hmm. Especially today in the age of the Laodicean church, whose pleasures of the flesh and the cares of this life circumvent one's personal scripture time with Jesus.
That's very obvious in these last days.
Probably the worst thing a Christian should be lacking. In Matthew 7:23, Jesus said that on Judgment Day, there will be those who will say they are Christians, but really only have a head knowledge. And Jesus will declare to them,
I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
Obviously, lawlessness has a double meaning and means more than, say, rioting or robbing establishments, which, by the way, is also rampant today as well.
Yes.
The King James calls it an iniquity. The Greek word, though, is anomene, number 458, meaning to transgress the law. Well, back then, the law was Torah. Today, it's our whole Bible. So can also mean Biblelessness. Let's look at another quote of Jesus in Matthew 13:41 when referring to the end of the tribulation.
The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness.
Mm-hmm. Also in Matthew 23:28.
Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness.
So outwardly they looked righteous, so they weren't out robbing and rioting in the streets. And still again in Matthew 24:12.
And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold.
Without being in the Word, love for those outside your immediate family is probably pretty limited. And now it's Paul's turn in Romans 6:19.
I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you once presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness.
Also, Paul warns us in 2 Corinthians 6:19.
Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness?
And 2 Thessalonians 2:7.
For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way.
And Hebrews 1:9. Again, speaking to the saved.
You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions.
Mm-hmm. Now we can't leave John out, who also has some words on lawlessness and actually defines it in detail for us to easily understand. In 1 John 3:4.
Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness.
So obviously by now we agree there are actually two meanings to the word lawlessness. Outwardly wicked and unrighteous, or not in the word, therefore lawless or Torahlessness. If you say you are a Christian but never desire his words of love to you, you might only have a head knowledge. Therefore, God will tell you on that day that he never knew you intimately, as we already said. Anyhow, let's look at what John said a little more closely, as we should, because if you just read it, we as Christians who do still sin could get confused by these words.
Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness.
So knowing that lawlessness is the same as unrighteousness, it might leave you scratching your head and taking on some condemnation, which we know there cannot be to those who are in Christ Jesus.
Romans 8.
There is another classic example of why we must study to show ourselves approved.
Because there are three different words for sin in the Greek New Testament.
Yes. Let's look at that. And by the way, these notes are in our newsletter this week, so you can relax your pen. There's number 264, hamartano, which means to wander, to miss the mark too often that you begin to wander on the road to major backsliding, or possibly already are. It's a dangerous place, and I know because I've been there. Then another word for sin is number 265, hamartima, which means an evil deed. You know, the ones we as Christians do, but quickly repent for.
And covered under the blood.
However, there is also number 266, hamartia. This is where you don't want to be, and actually can't be, if you are truly born again and love his word. Because this, number 266, is operating in the sin nature, an unrighteous pre-born-again state. So you really need to know when this Greek word for sin is used in the New Testament. If it's number 266, it's not talking about you anymore after salvation.
Yeah, this is a gold nugget for all believers to understand.
For sure. So every time you read a verse with the word sin in it, you need to look it up in your concordance to see which word or number it is. It will help you immensely to understand what and why the writer says what he says. We will just use the numbers tonight because it's faster and a little easier to remember. Once again, numbers 266 is sin before salvation.
265, typical daily sins covered under the blood.
And 264, it's just a dangerous place of wandering in the wrong direction, heading to backsliding. So, back to 1 John 3:4.
Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness.
This sin is number 266, hamartia, and it means the sins committed prior to salvation in the unrighteous state.
So, not talking to the righteous.
No, actually, describing the unrighteous. Now, lawlessness makes more sense. You and I are not lawless when we sin because our sins are now, number 265, and covered under the blood. So, if I were John, I could have written that sins before salvation is lawlessness.
So, why didn't he make it easier to understand?
Well, actually he did, because he used the Greek word so the early reader correctly knew that. Still, the English translators, in my mind, could have said it better. But perhaps God wanted his students, in the end of days especially, to spend more time studying.
That's a good point.
It is. So, let's look at another. 1 John chapter 2.
My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin.
This is number 264. Don't miss the mark too often, because that's a slippery slope.
And if anyone sins...
Again, that's 264.
We have an advocate with his Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world.
Now that's number 266, sins committed pre-salvation, but can be annulled by Jesus. All you have to do is ask him in. You know, Paul seldom uses the number 265 because our sins are covered, but does so in the first part of 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18. But then changes it in the last part and still the same verse. Again, Paul is talking to the Christian. Let's examine it. Verse 18.
Flee fornication.
Of course, that's sex without marriage.
Every sin.
That's number 265. That's the sin of a Christian.
That a man does is outside the body. But he who commits fornication sins against his own body.
Here Paul is still addressing Christians, uses the number 264 because sexual immorality causes a wandering away, especially from the Word.
You know what? Let's go over that again.
Okay. Number 266 is for the unsaved. Number 265 is the common everyday sins we all commit, you and me. And number 264 is pushing it to the limit. Beware.
Are we having fun yet?
Let's look at another. But again, I hope you will continue with your own study on this. Just look in your concordance for all the scriptures with the word sin or sins, and then look up the scriptures and be sure to write the numbers in your Bible next to the word sin. Remember, as we say often, my role as a teacher is to stir you up to do your own homework, to search the scriptures to see what I am telling you is truth.
Be a Berean, Acts 17:11.
Amen. Okay, in 1 John chapter 3, verses 5 through 9, there's a lot to see here.
And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins.
That's 266, those committed while unrighteous.
And in him there is no sin.
Again, 266 also mean he's he's very righteous.
Whoever abides in him does not sin.
That's number 264, or wander away, because the key word is abide in him, in his word.
Whoever sins.
Number 264 continues to wander.
Has neither seen him nor known him.
What Paul is saying, to really study his word, which is how you abide, then you shouldn't wander. But if you do for any length of time, perhaps you really never entered into his love of intimate passion to begin with, therefore not abiding. So here is our interpretation. You know that he was manifested to take away our sins before salvation, and in him is no unrighteousness. Whoever truly abides in his word will not wander, but whoever continues to wander has neither seen him or known him. Let's continue in verse 7 of 1 John 3.
Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous, he who sins.
Number 266, unrighteous sin before salvation.
Is of the devil, for the devil has sinned.
Now this is 264, meaning totally wandering from God.
From the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin.
That's number 266, or better put, is now righteous.
For he is.
For his name is Jesus.
Seed remains in him, and he cannot sin.
And that's number 264, will not forever wander.
Because he has been born of God.
So what Paul is saying is that if you are truly born of God, you will not continue to wander. You'll be back, as in my case, I wandered for a while, but came back with a thunder. I wanted to make up for the lost time of not abiding in him. Where are you, my friend? Are you abiding, or are you wandering in the wrong direction? You know what you must do. I want to leave you with the ironic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Shalom, Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for our president and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. Shalom till next week. Tell someone about Jesus.
thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.